fighting for America.
It is clear that the intent of Congress was to make sure that every eligible American had access to those tax credits.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Fighting for Idaho.
I'm really disgusted at all the hoopla and the noise that has been made because of Tony Dungy's comments.
I'm shocked that you don't see the problem here. I'm truly, utterly shocked.
Get over it.
Fighting for you.
The Bilderberg meetings are not open to the public, are they?
Who cares? It's not going to change nothing. So, Mark, come back to Earth and talk about the top.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
How about some common sense?
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I'm ADK IDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, and we continue on talking about pocketbook issues. Lee Schalk with us from the National Taxpayers Union, Andrew Moylan, Executive Director and Senior Fellow at the R Street Institute as well, talking about internet taxes and whether or not we need a new federal internet tax, what it means for big businesses, small businesses, all businesses here in the Gem State and beyond. Phone number is 580-5436. Kevin at 580-KIDO. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
So, first trip to Idaho, or?
This is my first trip to Idaho since I was a kid. So, my first trip in anything like consciousness, I suppose.
Sure, sure.
First trip ever for me.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the idea of taxation and what you both are in town for.
Yeah, I think the sort of short explanation is this, that we have this big fight that's been going on in Washington, D.C., but also here on the state level on internet sales tax issues. And you have legislators and other business folks that are working desperately to try to expand the reach of government on the internet and to try to, unfortunately, in our opinion, squeeze out small online-based businesses. And so what we're doing here today is talking about poll results that our organizations put together and asking folks here in Idaho what they think about it. And the results are pretty large in opposition to these kinds of schemes.
Yeah, and I think it's important for us at the National Taxpayers Union. We want to give a voice to the voters and taxpayers in Idaho. I think we're used to seeing coming out of Washington a certain point of view on the Marketplace Fairness Act that would expand the online sales tax, and it's that it's fair, it's best for all Americans. But what our poll results really show is that Idaho voters have a different perspective.
And what is that?
Well, so we asked a question about the sort of concept of the Marketplace Fairness Act, and the top line results were 52% opposed to just 32% in favor, so by a 20-point margin. But what's interesting about it is not so much the top line number. It's when you look at the breakdowns that, you know, maybe no surprise, conservatives oppose it by a 24-point margin, but moderates oppose it by a 16-point margin, and even self-identified liberals oppose it by a 9-point margin. So I think that tells the story here that there is a kind of baseline skepticism across the political spectrum about this concept of internet sales tax legislation, and folks are concerned about that.
How big does this impact the small businesses, the internet sales tax?
I think it has a huge impact. I think that when you look at big box retailers, obviously they can adapt. It's not going to be extremely difficult for them to cope with something like the MFA. But when you look at small online e-retailers, it could be huge. And I think that when you realize that there are nearly 10,000 sales tax jurisdictions in the U.S., that presents a huge compliance burden for small businesses. And it opens them up to potentially a couple mistakes when they're attempting to comply. And unfortunately, if MFA were to be passed, it would allow an out-of-state revenue collection agency in New York, for example, who could come after, in theory, an Idaho small business.
That wouldn't be good. I mean, business is already tough enough when you're talking about small businesses. The government seems to really reinforce the penalties for people that want to live their dream, if you will. I mean, the paperwork, you gentlemen know all about that, double taxation, unemployment tax, this, that, and the other. Then you're adding not just a new revenue collection for the government, but more paperwork to go through. So less time actually doing business and more time doing paperwork.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And of course, you know, as Lee mentioned, that's going to have a disproportionate impact on small businesses. And, you know, in a state like Idaho, where you have relatively sparse population, you know, the only way that a small business is going to be able to compete with the big box retailers is by expanding their market beyond just the folks who can drive into their store in a, you know, 20, 30, 50 mile radius, and expand it out beyond with the internet. And so placing those kinds of paperwork burdens on them, which can be pretty substantial, is going to be a huge problem. It's going to, you know, potentially put online businesses, small online businesses, out of business entirely. And that's a major concern when you have this kind of legislation that's moving its way through. And, you know, I think that you see in the poll results that folks in Idaho agree that there's major concerns there.
Now, before we get to Linda and Meridian here at 580KIDO, how big is the digital footprint when we're talking business? Obviously, we have Amazon. We have others, but, you know, for the small retailer, is it really a hidden gem that you can, you know, take your business to the next level if you go to the digital platforms, if you go online?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we've seen the kind of development of competition and business models over the years that, you know, 50 years ago, everything was conducted in brick and mortar, sort of mom and pop stores. That model was revolutionized by Walmart and big box retail and putting together these huge stores, negotiating, you know, tougher deals with suppliers and passing on lower costs to people. And this is sort of the next iteration of that, I think, where you have folks utilizing the internet to have an even smaller physical footprint to, you know, ship out of warehouses rather than to have hundreds or thousands of stores across the country. And what that has also done is it, I think, has sort of paradoxically empowered those mom and pop businesses to, again, compete. That if you have a sort of specialty retail, you know, if you're selling cowboy boots in Texas or something, that now your market isn't limited to just to folks who can get to you in Texas. You can sell all across the country. And that's something that we see reflected here in Idaho, that there are specialty product stores that have been very successful in doing that.
You know, I have a friend of mine. He sells bull belts. And, you know, belts excel. I did some research, and the words are very inexpensive. Now, you houses or whatever, but he buys these words from Google. And he has a website, bullbelts.com, I believe, does incredibly well. And he lives in Ohio, but if you did that here in Idaho or anywhere else for that matter, and it's ingenious because he makes a lot of money, has no inventory, just really is the middleman, if you will. But all of a sudden, if you're taxing folks at the federal level, you know, again, the profits are going to go away. You're going to limit growth.
Yeah, and I think kind of what is at the core of our poll results and what Idaho voters clearly realize is that they want to protect these small businesses and they want to protect these profits, especially at a time when our economy has been stagnant. We need the internet to remain as free from government regulation and taxation as possible. And that is spelled out very clearly in these results. And to just reemphasize what Andrew pointed out earlier, it's not just conservatives. It's not just Republicans, the folks who, you know, typically have that knee-jerk reaction to a new tax. It's self-identified independents, Democrats, moderates, liberals.
Sure.
It doesn't matter if people say they frequently shop online or if not. They're all coming out opposed to the idea of a national online sales tax mandate.
Let's go to the phones, and Ray, what we'll do is I'll just turn off all the mics, so you'll turn off them, and it's because our headphone budget is gone the way of the wind, if you will, and we'll go to Linda in Meridian at 580KIDO. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kevin. I do have a question for these gentlemen, and I don't know if they're going to know the answer, but a question that I've had for years is if I'm in Idaho and I buy a product from Colorado, whether it's in a catalog or on the internet, I feel that I should pay Colorado sales taxes because the business is in Colorado, the product is coming from Colorado. If I were to drive over to Colorado and buy it, I would pay Colorado sales tax. So I don't understand why, if I'm in Idaho, why do I have to pay Idaho sales tax if I'm buying a product from Colorado?
All right, Linda, why don't you hang up and we'll answer the question. Thank you.
That's a great question. She put her finger right on sort of one of the core issues here, which is, you know, who gets to collect sales tax? And so to answer her question, if she's based in Idaho and buys something from a Colorado retailer, they would not have to collect Idaho sales tax, assuming they don't have a physical presence here in Idaho. That's the kind of basic limitation that we have placed on state governments today. We say you can only force a business to collect your sales tax if they're physically present within your jurisdiction. And that's a key protection to make sure we don't have these kind of predatory cross-state tax issues. But what she suggests, I actually think, is the right ultimate answer to this, because there is a concern that you hear, and it's not a crazy one, from brick-and-mortar retailers that says, you know, we have a brick-and-mortar presence here. We have to collect for every sale we make. But if you have an online business that's based in, you know, your friend's business in Ohio or what have right. you, they don't have to collect in Idaho because they don't have a physical presence here. That means I can't compete and sell belts against them. And, you know, I think that Linda put her finger right on the answer, which is to have businesses collect sales tax based on where they are physically located for everything. So in your friend's case, he would collect Ohio sales tax for all the sales he makes for businesses based here in Idaho. They would collect Idaho sales tax for the business for the sales that they make. And I think that that's a way to do it that's fair, that doesn't give state government this kind of new unbounded tax power, and that doesn't threaten, you know, small businesses with having to comply with 46 sales tax states and 10,000 taxing jurisdictions.
Right.
And I would just add one illustration we like to point out is that if I drive from Idaho to Colorado and I walk into a store, they're not going to ask for my ID and say, oh, you're from Idaho, we're going to charge this sales tax. No, you're going to pay the sales tax of the store that you're in. So I think that's along the lines of what Andrew's pointing out as what might be a more viable solution.
How big do we have any numbers of just how big the online industry is?
Yeah, we do, and it's actually surprisingly small. So about 7 cents out of every dollar in retail sales is conducted online. So
only 7 cents.
Yeah, wow. And it's growing. It certainly is growing rapidly, and everybody expects that it will expand from there. But it really goes to show that for the vast majority of products still today, for the vast majority of people, that commerce is being conducted in brick and mortar stores. So I think we have this image that the internet's like, you know, a third or a half of commerce, and it's just eating the lunch of everything brick and mortar. But that's not yet the case.
Well, Amazon would like you to think that.
Yeah, they would like you to think that, and they would like to make it true.
Right.
And they've been working on that. You know, they have the Amazon sort of the perfect example of this new business model of being, you know, putting together these warehouses where, you know, I mean, listen, if you're a Walmart, you have thousands of products in your store.
Sure.
Even on the best of days, you're only going to sell a few hundred of them. You got to, you know, keep the lights on, sweep the floors, clean the bathrooms, keep everything nice. You know, so maybe that business model doesn't work. I don't know. Maybe the best business model is to have a warehouse and just ship it to people. Maybe it's some combination of the two. I have no clue. The concern I think that we have is that the Marketplace Fairness Act and some of these other bills are basically trying to put government's thumb on the scale and say that if you use online, if you use the internet to expand your presence, that we're going to make you jump through all these hoops that we don't make those brick and mortar stores jump through. And they're, you know, trying to sort of rework the outcomes.
Sure.
And I think, too, it's worth mentioning that the big box retail stores right now, they account for the vast majority of online sales. So they're doing well in both departments.
Much more coming up. It is 8:17 at 580 KIDO. If you have a question about the internet tax, the proposed federalization, I guess, of the internet tax, we'll talk about that. We'll find out just why Idaho is so significant that we have these gentlemen here from Washington. We'll talk about that and much, much more. We'd love to hear from you. 580-5436, 580-KIDO.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, as we continue on talking about the proposed new federal internet sales tax. Now, you all are going to be here at the State House coming up very soon. Is that right?
Yeah, so we're in town doing a bunch of different events, talking to legislators, talking to media folks, talking to business owners about what the impacts of the Marketplace Fairness Act would be and about what the poll results show about how folks here in Idaho have responded to that.
And what about nationally? What do people think?
Well, funny you should ask. Our organizations, the National Taxpayers Union and the R Street Institute, actually did a national version of, you know, here we're talking about a state level poll. Last year we did a national poll. And it followed up on a Gallup poll where they asked about this concept of the Marketplace Fairness Act, and they found 57% of people saying they were opposed to it, but they didn't do the kind of deep dive demographic breakdown. So our organizations joined together to do that kind of deeper dive, and we came up with, actually, to our pleasant surprise, the same top line number, 57% of folks that were opposed to it. So hopefully that speaks well of its reliability. But then we broke it down, and you can look at, you know, income. You can look at rural versus urban. You can look at, you know, partisan identification. You can look at anything, you know, any which way you slice it. We found huge margins of opposition, in most cases double digit margins of opposition to it. So I think the opposition to this sort of concept is pretty broad and pretty deep across the country.
Yeah, I think that this is very important for National Taxpayers Union. First of all, at the state level, we have over 2,500 members here in Idaho, and we've worked with taxpayers here going back to the 80s and 90s on everything from gas taxes to property tax hikes that we've fought. And so I think that this poll is a great way for us to give a voice to those taxpayers in Idaho. And again, at the national level, we're probably the nation's largest taxpayer group with over 362,000 members nationwide. And so, as Andrew mentioned, we've had multiple polls on the Marketplace Fairness Act, and we want to give a voice to taxpayers and to all Americans who we've seen by a significant margin oppose such a tax.
Let's go back to the phones, and we go to David in Givens Hot Springs at 580KIDO.
Hey, Kevin, just to show you how the government is intertwined and how their tentacles for taxes reach out to everybody. In 2002, I bought a 1946 Cessna 140 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And originally sold in 46 for $5,200. I bought it in Tulsa, and I flew it back in February, and first trip across the Rockies, and 85 horsepower. And I get here, and after filling out the paperwork in Tulsa, the paperwork went through the federal government. It went to the Idaho Department of Transportation, and guess what? They sent me a letter. Greetings. You owe about $1,000 on sales tax for that poor little old airplane. Just give you an example. So we're far from freedom here in the United States. They got you.
All right, David, thank you, and we'll give it to the panel. Gentlemen?
Yeah, I love that because it shows actually the one area where we have – technically we have two different taxes, one called the sales tax, which most folks think about when they go in a store and make a purchase, but the other called the use tax. And the use tax exists for sales where the sales tax wasn't collected. So theoretically, if you buy something from out of state, as the caller did, and then bring it back to Idaho, and the way that, you know, normally you think about that with in relation to cars, that if you bring a car across the border and register it, you have to pay that use tax. But that's the only place that the use tax is even remotely enforceable. You know, this idea that governments could ever potentially enforce that on every Amazon purchase and sort of nickel and dime audit folks is crazy, which is why it doesn't happen. And so because revenue agencies would really prefer not to have to knock on your door and audit your every purchase from Amazon or eBay or Overstock,
sure.
What they're really hoping to do is to force out-of-state businesses to collect that sales tax and send it for them. And, you know, that way they don't have Idaho constituents getting angry at them. They have Idaho constituents getting angry at out-of-state business owners instead. And, you know, that's sort of one of the core problems here.
Now, quickly, where is our congressional delegation on all this?
Well, the House has yet to vote on it, so
sure.
Most folks in the House have kind of kept their powder dry. On the Senate side, Senators Risch and Crapo both voted no on the bill when it came up for a final passage vote in the Senate, but have both indicated some openness to, you know, making tweaks here or there, making amendments to it. So I think that this hopefully is a sort of an eye-opening thing for them as well to see where their constituents are, not just their Republican constituents for, you know, primary purposes and the like, but as we mentioned, moderates and liberals as well.
Well, taxes is a bipartisan thing. Everybody gets taxed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pain that we all suffer, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think an issue like this, it does have the potential to be that X factor in an election. Clearly, taxpayers, voters of all stripes, as you mentioned, they're against this sort of thing. And so I think that for Idaho senators, it's important for them to take note of what their constituents feel about it.
Final thought to both of you. How overtaxed are we in America today?
On a scale of 1 to 10,
yeah.
I don't know, 64. I mean, it's sort of tongue in cheek, but Listen, obviously both of our organizations are pretty firmly of the belief that governments are too big and too powerful and too inefficient and too wasteful as it stands right now. And that's part of what drives us on this issue, is this really kind of major concern that what we're doing is empowering states to reach across their borders in a way that's totally unprecedented and is the kind of thing that can really damage interstate commerce and make government grow even larger.
But back to the question, I mean, you have politicians and at one time Republicans talking about cutting taxes, Bill Clinton saying the era of big government's over, and now as you all are trying to prevent this tax from coming in, I mean, people are just frustrated. I mean, the days get longer as far as your tax independence and everything else. Well, people listening here at 580KIDO, whether they're a business person or not, there's just a frustration. Both your groups work to limit taxes. Is there any way that you both feel that we can, you know, kind of get a handle on it and slowly push the pendulum, hopefully, back the other way?
Well, I think the root of the problem is we have a spending problem. I always talk to taxpayers throughout the country, and they agree. It's not that our government has a revenue problem. We don't. Our tax collections are at an all-time high. They continue to rise year after year. But it's our out-of-control spending that forces our government officials to attempt time after time to reach back into our pockets and extract more taxes from us.
And I think that's the answer. You have to reform the spending side. Ultimately, the size of government is what it spends. And reforming the spending side will allow you to do the kinds of reforms that I'd like to see, where you know, don't empower states to do these kind of cross-border state tax collections, but you do all kinds of things inside a state as well to reform taxes to make them lower and easier for businesses and individuals, because I think you're right that folks have kind of had it up to here, and the hope is that we can help turn that tide.
Well, we look forward to hearing from both of you again. We appreciate you stopping in. I know it's been a long trip, so thank you.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to 580KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And for those of you listening for the first time, when you hear this song, you go, yeah, that's the theme to Two and a Half Men, and you have two dudes and a kid singing. Does it really make sense for the radio? Well, that's why we call it the Manly Man segment, but Dave Burnett not with us today. Robin is in once again. And Robin, I know this is your second day working the zombie squad, and I know that you're just as consumed with this segment as I am. In fact, I know you go home just like Kevin Miller, and you go, okay, I've got to come up with topics. Okay, I've got to come up with issues. I've got to make sure I sleep. I know your priority is being here with me in the morning.
Well, duh. I mean, isn't it obvious? Apparently
well,
it is.
Well, and I thought, you know, Robin's not used to these hours, so I'm going to go out of my way, and maybe I'm going to have to order some super beta prostate after that last commercial.
Yeah, really?
Man, talk about what to look forward to. Okay, you're a large prostate, you're this. Yeah, I resemble that remark. Gee whiz. What do we do before super beta prostate? But anyway, I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night, and then I'm not going to go back to sleep, and I'm going to do this just for my friend Robin. And so I can make sure that I'm fumbly bumbly and hopefully not grumpy this morning with you.
Dang, because I was really hoping you were going to carry this whole thing.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that I did not have the sleep advantage.
Oh, okay. Well, I do actually feel a little better myself today, so maybe I am going to...
So you're
really shine this morning.
You're a little better. I'm a little stumbly. And they go, huh, a little? You're always stumbly. But anyway, here at 580KIDO, I've got a couple things. When you were a kid, what scared you? Were you ever scared of, you know, something under your bed, a bump or something like that in the night?
I remember being scared of, we had a gate that didn't always latch properly that was right next to my bedroom outside. So sometimes it would slam in the wind, and then I would think that it was thunder, and that scared me.
You were scared of a gate?
Well, I didn't know it was a gate. I thought it was really loud thunder. I was little. You said kid.
I was little. Now, I remember as a little kid being afraid of Bigfoot. Do you remember those specials growing up? Now, you're a lot younger than I am. Oh, so,
thank you.
Know, probably in your day it was, I don't know really what. But when I was a little boy, on UHF television. Now, I know, again, you don't know what that is. You can Wikipedia that or Google it. And they would have these specials on Bigfoot. And when they were running the first run of Escape 2 from wherever in Witch Mountain, they would have these, he's everywhere. And here I am living in Akron, Ohio, thinking, oh, my gosh, Bigfoot's going to come get me.
Mm.
And it just, you know, so, you know, now Bigfoot is the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking what it would be like, and I know this is a stretch, but what the heck, what it would be like to be living in Israel right now where these people in these tunnels come out and they're causing trouble and shooting people and everything else. I mean, could you imagine living in your neighborhood? There was a report the other day and some guy's just sitting there and he sees like the terrorists coming out of tunnels in his backyard. Of course, in Idaho, that would be bad for the terrorists because they just blow them away.
Right, yeah. But you're saying in comparison to...
Well, no, so then I would be fearful of the tunnel people. You know, George Norrie scares the blah, 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 blah out of me, and so did Art Bell, where he'd go, well, you know, the shadow people. Have you ever seen the shadow people? And whether you're listening at 580KID, well,
George, I saw one a minute ago. My dog tried to bite him, but he went right through him.
And I'm going, okay, this is stupid. And until I got married, of course, I live with my two little doggies. And look, they're not stupid. If they see the shadow people, they're not going down with the ship. They're going, hey, get this guy. So then all of a sudden, when you listen to George, it's like, well, tell me more.
Well, George... He's looking at me right now. It ain't looking good.
And just the funny tricks your mind plays with. Now you have this real situation going on in Gaza, but, you know, all of a sudden you start, you know, looking at things kind of like, well, was that a shadow person? Was this this? And, you know, Art Bell used to interview Satan, and he would go,
yeah.
Hello, Satan. Hello, Art. I know it's the same voice, but, hey, that's the budget for this. But so getting back to, like, how fear plays with you and you know, people that are working third shift right now that are happy to hear us because they know they're going home, whether it's security guard Mike, whether it's Mike from Walmart, whether it's Rebecca getting ready for Albertsons, whether it's Joe in the bed and Nolan running around. You know, it's kind of because at night you're kind of on your own.
Mm-hmm.
There is no boss. I always liked working third shift, but then all of a sudden you have the bump in the night. And again, I would be like Inspector Clouseau. Not the Steve Martin Pink Panther, which you're familiar with. You don't know anything. You know, again, you're much too young to remember maybe you watched them, the Pink Panther movies. Did you ever see those?
Yes, I did see those.
See again.
I appreciate you making me out to be way younger than you, because, you know, I probably am. But
well, you're probably. We're gonna. What are we gonna do? Call the NSA on that?
I'm just gonna say that Steve Martin Pink Panther cannot hold a candle to the original Pink Panther. I mean, please.
Oh, I know.
I love Steve Martin, but what was he thinking? I'm sorry.
And then to be politically correct, we can't really say anything these days.
Good point.
And, you know, last week, and I know when you're not here and you're getting ready to do your afternoon duties here at 580KIDO and the other jabroni places, you like that one, huh? You don't want to laugh because somebody might be listening? You can
exactly.
Laugh. It's okay. So anyway, so... I interviewed these folks from the way out west. Did you see these people on TV? They're Idaho. It's
I've read about it. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, we had them on. Maybe you should kind of catch the show.
What? I know. I should get up earlier, shouldn't I?
Well, you know, I know that for the past 3 weeks you've been studying this segment, and you actually have been downloading the podcast. You've actually been getting up training for this.
Well, yeah. Absolutely. I'm glad you've noticed my hard work and preparation.
You know, that's why I want to make sure I didn't get enough sleep so we would be on equal footing here.
I appreciate that.
Well, you know, it's all about, you know, being appreciated. But so this way out west thing. So we get them on. And again, it's the difference between television. And it's funny because, well, with the exception of a few personalities in this market, television here is not bigger than radio. And everybody goes, oh, they're on TV. Yeah, they're like 22 years old and fresh out of college, and they're wearing purple shirts.
And they make nothing.
Yeah, well, you know, look, Robin, we don't do this for the money. We do it for the love of the game. We do it for the fame, the, you know, being recognized at Fred Meyer by Wendy, who runs the kid place.
Aren't you? I had one time I said, or I went somewhere where they go, you look like that lady that's on the radio.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, I do, don't I?
Or I had a boss that goes, I wish y'all just shut up and talk.
Shut up and talk.
That's my new website.
That's classic.
Shutupandtalk.com. However, back to what we're yapping about here, this way out west. So, I watched it, okay? And again, as we know, I aspire to be a manly man.
Sure. We know.
Right. I aspire to be. I could be a manly man supporter, I suppose. Maybe never even. You know, manly man is a guy that's out there, you know, right now working in the fields, farming, ranching, working hard, working outside, landscaping, kind of like Pat from Middleton if he were awake right now.
That's all that manly men do. They just do, like, a hard work outside.
They don't have they don't have the gel in their hair. They don't have anything. They, you know, they're more like bacon and eggs as opposed to tofu and a latte.
Well, yeah. I think of a manly man just as a guy that gets the job done. He does what has to be done to get the job done, whether it's outside, inside, whatever.
Yeah. Can you really be a manly man with, like, starched shirts and working in an office?
Yeah, I'm with you. They're getting pedicures.
Manicure, yes, pedicures. Like we disclosed yesterday, and like I said, I told you, I would, anyway.
I just outed you.
Dude, I still like that guy who goes, you're going to like this. Dude, don't talk to me. I'm only here because my wife made me because my feet are bad. Anyway, at 580KIDO, so I'm watching this Way Out West, okay? Uh-huh. And if you combine the show Jackass with Duck Dynasty, that's essentially what it is. And look, my wife will go, why are you watching The Real Housewives? I like the Housewives when they yell at each other and it gets uncomfortable, okay?
It does get uncomfortable. That's the part I don't like about it.
Well, so I'm watching this thing. And I mean, everybody wants to be the new Duck Dynasty, and it's what it takes place in Idaho, and they go, "We're way out in Idaho," and I'm going, "Dude, whatever." And they got three families, and they go, "We're gonna find out who's the best." And so they have this chariot race, which is a horse pulling things, and they it's like Jackass. They just like do stupid things, and that would be great if this were '94. So, again, and granted, I'm not a film critic, but anyway, folks, you always ask, Kevin, what do? You go out? Do you go to Banks? Have you gone to Stanley? Have you gone to Coeur d'Alene? No, I'm doing the research so you can feel comfortable enough to go to these places. So I'm watching this thing, and they're you know, trail guys. So you go in and you hire them, and you go big game hunting and whatever. And they fly into Emmett. And I guess at the Emmett Airport, they have a golf course right next to it. And so these guys have come in, and they're all drunk, and then the cowboys have to go get the backup. And, again, so I'm watching the show. I'm going, is this really the public perception that we want of the great state of Idaho, where we have a bunch of folks that, look, there's nothing wrong with what they're doing for a living, dude. That's tough. You're on the trail. You're serving your clients. But, I mean, in reality, I'm telling you, then they had they had three contests. One was a shooting thing. One was, again, the chariot races. And the third one was, we're going to light a log, and who chops it the most wins. And so each family won one. They go, let's go drinking. And they and they set the table on fire, and the dummy who did it actually caught his beard on fire.
We got to
edit that out. So I'm going, what's the value of this? Why am I watching this? Oh, well, it's a little college football. But I'm thinking, is this really what we want to see? Is this really the national? And, of course, the local folks, God bless them, because the folks on TV, they would like to be more critical. They'd like to be more honest. But they're not going to say this perception is wrong. In fact, yeah, I know two stations that probably could use a new news director. And I could use another job here right after work. I only work 4 hours a day, so I could go there. And I would take a look at those things critically and say, is this really the perception? Instead, what we get is, oh, boy, there's a new reality show, and it's from Idaho, and they're doing good.
Well, it seems like whenever anyone from Idaho gets on the news, their name is Billy Bob, and they've got three teeth, and they're wearing overalls.
To a degree, and again, like, you go out, you what are you? You dance all night and you sleep all day, as we talked about yesterday.
Sure.
We disclosed that.
After my gigs, yeah.
Right. Your gigs, you're winding down. You catch the Manly Man show because, oh, God, Kevin wants me to do this. I'm just here for a week. Can't he just carry a segment by himself? No, I can't!
Well, I want you to know, after the gigs, before I fall asleep, this is the last thing that I listen to when I'm not here.
Because it puts you to sleep, because you'll hear Dave Burnett going, really? Really? You're a hater, Kevin. Yeah, that's really about what it is. And I'll go, no! But anyway, at 580KIDO. So, we did have a couple cool people from Idaho on Shark Tank. And we had this entrepreneur guy that was from Boise. He didn't do well on, like, a show that was on for a week. I mean, but he was, these guys from, I think they actually got an investment from Shark Tank. and three brothers that make like sunglasses with wood frames or something like that. I mean, they did as well. But, you know, again, I'm just sitting to myself going, is this really appropriate? So would you watch this show? Well, Kevin, I haven't watched. I've given you a preview.
No, not normally. I would watch it because they're from Idaho, so I'd be interested to see, like you say, how they're representing us, and if I know anybody, you know, that kind of stuff. And because it's local, I would definitely watch it. But just the premise, normally I wouldn't be like, oh, I can't wait.
Well, like I said, we try to get them on, and it, like, again, when you have a TV person on the radio, so what was it like? Well, okay. Well, thank you very much. We were only on for 30. Yep, you were. You got to go. Okay, quickly, your gigs, if people want to see you, where can they go?
Tomorrow night, my husband and I are playing at Big Al's out on the patio, so the village.
How do you like that, Big Al's?
I like Big Al's.
You've been doing that for like 27 years.
Yeah, because...
In fact, you opened Big Al's.
That's right, and a shareholder and everything. I came up with the concept, actually, many years ago.
And look what it's done for you.
I know, really. No, Big Al's is actually very fun, and the village, of course, is just awesome, so there's so much you can do there. And we actually have a lot of people that just walk by that are going to the movies or checking out the village, so it's a nice area out there in the patio.
Are we talking about you, or are we talking about the village? Hi, everyone. Let's talk about some good songs. What can we hear? Can we hear some, do we have anything, Sweet William? Yeah, let's see quickly if, do we have any of this?
Oh, no.
You know, I might go if you have some Burl Ives, maybe.
Oh, well, I can work on that. Maybe some Burl Ives.
Maybe some.
It's
Alabama.
What the heck are you digging into there? Is that the Christmas stash? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Supertramp.
Yeah, we do give a little bit.
How about Take the Long Way Home?
That's a good one.
That's the Kevin Miller theme song, that and the Illogical song. You want to know more about me? Illogical song, Illogical song, Illogical song.
That pretty much sums it all up.
How about this one? Can you picture Robin dancing to this, folks?
Hey, everybody. Well, Katy Perry?
Yeah.
No, not that song anyway.
All right. Well, the segment has flown by with a lot of great information that we've learned. I can't wait to talk to you tomorrow. Now, I'll be at Lionheart Tactical, but we'll still do this.
Good. Okay. And so can we listen to you eat scones?
Well, I'm going to try and sing tomorrow.
Really?
We're going to do a duet.
Ooh.
Yes. We'll do Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton.
Islands in the Stream?
Yes.
Yes. That is what we are.
Yes. It'll be...
nothing in between.
It'll be Tune Out Factor multiplied.
On steroids.
Anyway, I believe it's time for traffic.
Really?
Yeah.
Yay! Okay.
And coming up next, Rob Williams will join us, veteran military journalist, on What's Next for Our Military. Serving.